If you got your Bibles this morning, turn over to Acts chapter 12, and we'll start in verses 1 through 5. We want to talk about the power of God. It says in verse number 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarter something of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." If we look in verse number 1, it says that he stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. That word vex means to bring trouble or to bring physical distress. And then in verse number 2, it says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." James had been killed by Herod the king. James was the first apostle to be martyred. That word martyred means a person who suffers death as a penalty of witnessing to the refusing to renounce a religion. And a person who sacrifices something of great value, and especially life itself, for the sake of a principle. So James died for the sake of the gospel. You know, I don't know if me and you could do that. I don't know if we have enough faith to stand up for the Lord if our life depended on it. James sacrificed his life for what he believed in, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be afraid to say that even as the king Herod swung his sword, James was telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God was at work, and his apostles were telling everyone that they met about the Lord Jesus Christ, and souls were being saved. Look in Acts chapter 2. In verses 41 through 47, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved." We see the power of God working in the early church, but just as we see God working and souls being saved, we also see the devil can work using men and women trying to hinder God's work. Look in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4. And it says, "And they spake unto the people, and the priest, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. We see how the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees approached Peter and John because they did not believe what they were preaching. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But no matter what they did, God was still working, and more souls are being saved. It says in verse number 4, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we see at least 5,000 people got saved here. The Sanhedrin want to know by what power has all these people been saved, and by what power are you healing people? In Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner.'" And then look at this verse. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." So they said that all these things had been done through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by him and him only is there salvation, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Even though preaching in the name of Jesus had been forbidden, we see the boldness of Peter and John as they continue to preach and tell others about Jesus. Look in verse 13, it says, "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." It says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned means they didn't have much education. And that word ignorant means lacking of knowledge or comprehension. It says, "And they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." That word marveled is to become filled with surprise, wonder, or amazed curiosity. That word knowledge, the fact or condition of knowing something. In this case, that they knew that Peter and John had been with Jesus because there was no other way that they could know these things, because these men were fishermen by trade. It doesn't matter who you are, what type of work you do, or how much education that you have. The Lord just simply wants you to surrender to your life to him. He wants you to preach the gospel to every creature and let him handle the rest. He wants you to tell somebody about him and what he's done for you. Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God giveth the increase." In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." That word wise is characterized by wisdom. The word prudent is marked by wisdom. To be wise and prudent is to be known for their wisdom. And to be babes in Christ is naive, inexperienced person. You know, if you're a babe in Christ, that means you're a child. And the Bible tells us that we need to train up a child. So therefore, a person who is wise and prudent has a lot of knowledge and wisdom. And most of them are set in their ways, and they don't want you to try to tell them what's right and what's wrong, because they think they know it all. But as a babe in Christ or a child of Christ, you can be taught, you can learn some things, because you're inexperienced and you don't know. And it's good to see that here in it says, "Babes, on the other hand, didn't know very much and need to be taught," as we see in Acts 4:13. Peter and John are babes in Christ. They are unlearned and ignorant men when it comes to the Word of God. But look where they get their learning from. It says that they had been with Jesus. You know, there ain't no better place than to get your learning from than from Jesus, God's Word. You know, they had to choose to learn the things of the Lord rather than the things of the world. You know, it's easy for us to pick up on the things of the world, the devil. You know, he's got our number. He knows what tempts us, and he'll use that against us every single day. And if we want to fight the devil in the flesh, we need to be in God's Word every day. By choosing to learn from Jesus and by obeying his word, they had boldness to stand up and to preach the gospel no matter what the outcome was. In chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, it says, "And beholding the men which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So these people knew that what they had done, it was a miracle, but they didn't want nobody else that hadn't already heard it or seen it to know any more about that miracle or what they was doing. So they wanted to threaten them, to try to get them to stop preaching the Word of God and to stop healing people in the name of Jesus. It says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they couldn't help but to tell people the truth, what they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ and about, you know, about his healing power and can heal people. So they had further threatened them, and they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. No matter what was said to them, no matter how many times they were threatened, they continued to obey God rather than men. They continued to preach the gospel. They continued to learn God's word. People continued to get saved, and God continued to be glorified for all the things that was done. You know, when the Lord does something, and we're a part of it, we shouldn't get any glory for it. It should all be the Lord. It shouldn't be us at all. This brings us back to our text in Acts 12, in verses 2 and 3. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." We see that James has been killed for standing up for what he believes in. We see that Peter is thrown in prison. Peter is thrown in prison by no fault of his own. He was living right, walking with the Lord, doing the best that he could, preaching Jesus, honoring the Lord, and trouble still came his way. We too can learn a lesson here. Just because we are living right and serving the Lord doesn't mean that troubles won't come our way, because in many cases, the closer one lives to Jesus, the more that person suffers for Jesus. You know, I know that the more you try to serve the Lord, and the more you try to obey the Lord and to do what the Lord wants you to do, the harder the devil, he's going to fight you, and he's going to tempt you with all sorts of things. And it's up to us, you know, whether or not we choose to do those things or to keep on trusting the Lord and doing what he has for us to do. In a lot of cases, the lost world won't like a Christian that stands up for the truth and doesn't compromise. A lot of times the lost world is just looking for a reason to persecute Christians simply because the truth that is being preached is conviction to them. And they would rather kill, persecute, and throw Christians in prison than to believe the truth that is being preached and to change the way that they live their lives. Look at, sometimes Christians are persecuted, thrown in prison, and even killed because of others. Look at Acts 1 and 2, or 1 through 3, it says, "Now that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." And look at verse 3, it says, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." When Herod killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, he saw it pleased the Jews. We need to make sure that when we are doing something, that we are doing it with the right motive. You see, King Herod was a man pleaser. He didn't care about the Lord at all. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. With that being said, we ought to please God rather than men. In Acts 12:3, it says, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." The world, lost people, the devil just keep right on cheering you on as you live your life in sin. Sometimes we do things just because we want to fit in. Now, I remember one time in school, probably about 7th or 8th grade, me and this one guy, we got into a little argument during lunch. So after lunch, we had this little breezeway we went out into, had picnic tables, and it was raining that day. And that guy said something to me. We were standing up under a little awning, and I didn't like what he said. So me and him got into a little fight that day, and the other kids there cheering us on, you know. It was raining, mud puddle out here. They told me, yelled out to me, "Why don't you put him in the mud puddle? Put him in the mud puddle." So I did. Needless to say, the crowd began to cheer louder. And then me and the other boy, we were both soaking wet. We both had to go to the principal's office. We both got expelled from school. And, you know, that day, I just wanted to try to please some of the people in the crowd. I wanted them to like me, but they really didn't like me. They just was like what I was doing at the time. And I wanted them to be my friends, but in the reality of everything that happened that day, me and the guy that I was fighting with that day, we was more friends, better friends than any of the other people in the crowd that day. But that just goes to show you how people will do. You know, they don't really like you, but they will cheer you on if you're doing the wrong things. You see, the crowd, the world, the lost people, the devil, they all just want to use you just to see how far you will take things. You know, that fight could have ended had people not cheered me on, but they said, "Won't you put him in the mud puddle? I bet you won't put him in the mud puddle." And that's all it took. Look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 11, it says, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitudes, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. Wherefore he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she wanted, whatsoever she would ask. And she being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. You know, I noticed two things when I was studying over this lesson. I noticed that we read about, over in Acts, we read about Herod. And then over here in Matthew, we read about Herod again, but it's not the same Herod. It's two different Herods. So I figured, you know, Herod is not a good name to name your kids because it seems like they're bad people. It says that we see here Herod did not want to obey the laws of God, so he put John the Baptist in prison. But because it pleased someone else, he went on to kill John. You see, sin never stops in the eyes of the lost world and the devil. They always want you to take it a little bit further. We can choose to be men pleasers like Herod, or we can choose to be like James and Peter and stand up for God's word, even if it cast out our lives here, even if it cost us our lives here on earth, or we are cast in prison. Let's look at the power of God from the prison cell. Sometimes as Christians, we will pay the ultimate price when we stand up for the truth and we'll die for the sake of the Lord. But one thing's for sure, if you are saved, the worst thing that man can do to a saved person is to kill the body. The Bible says to be absent from the Lord, or absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. We see James was gone to be with the Lord while Peter was cast into prison. Back in Acts chapter 12, in verses 4 and 5, it says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quarterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Peter is cast into prison, and the church prayed to God for him without ceasing. We see God's man being faithful, yet in trouble. We see God's people step up on his behalf in prayer to God. Now let's look at God's power in the midst of trouble. Look at verses 7 through 11. It says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. As Peter lay there sleeping, the angel of the Lord came into the prison cell. The bars, the locks, the guards, and the walls proved to be no barrier to the Lord. You see, there is nothing that's too hard for the Lord to do. When we find ourselves in these prisons of despair and trials, we need to never fear that being there alone, the Lord promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord has never forsaken his people, and he never will. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace, they found the Lord right there with them. When Daniel was cast into the den of lions, he found the Lord right there with him. When Paul was on the ship in a stormy sea, he found the Lord was right there with him. No matter where you go or what you do, the Lord will always be right there with you. We see in Acts chapter 12, verse 7, that Peter's chains fell off of his hands. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 10, that the gates that leadeth out of the prison opened on their own. You see, God can take away all the chains that have you bound and make them fall off. God can open those gates that have you trapped so that you can be free. So today, don't be like King Herod and do all the things that please men. Be a man of God and let God take off those chains that have you bound. Let God open those gates and set you free. You know, I remember a time that I was really depressed. I'd been out of work for probably about 6 months, having some back trouble. I'd been to all kind of doctors, and I'd been to physical therapy. I'd been to the chiropractor. I'd been getting injections, which I still get from time to time. But God has always made a way that I could bear. You know, He never said it would be easy, but He said He would always make a way. But I remember I hadn't been in church in probably about 8 years, and I was laying in the bed that one day and prayed out to God to help me, and He did. He sent me back to church. I drove by this church for I don't know how many years and never really thought nothing about going back to church, just living, you know, old sinful life, and was just miserable. But God got me back into church, but I had to call out to Him. I had to pray to Him and ask Him for help. You know, a lot of people, I don't know, maybe they're just afraid to call out to God because they don't want to change, you know, their old lifestyle. But, you know, if you want God to do something in your life, if you want to see the power of God, you got to surrender to God. Right. You got to let Him use you. You got to let Him take those things that's got you bound, and you got to put all that stuff on the altar and don't pick it back up. And that's what I got for today. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for just allowing us to come to Your house, Lord. I pray that You just be with Brother Drew in the next hour. I pray that You be with all the lost souls, Lord. I pray that You be with the ones that's sick, Lord. And I pray that You be with the ones that's on their way to church this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.